Good morning, everyone. We welcome you to our Sunday Morning Roundtable, Sunday, August 27th, 2017. Our subject, Christ Jesus, our golden text, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And this morning I will have Linda read our morning prayer.
This is Mrs. Eddy's prayer given at the Massachusetts Metaphysical College. Oh my God, I offer as a consecrated gift upon thine altar a heart dedicated to thy service, lips speaking only words of charity, love, and truth, thoughts striving to be only the true thoughts of the one mind God. Help me to endure unto the end, strong in the faith, powerful in the truth, all the influence that I can bring to bear, all the force of tongue or pen that is mine, I offer in thy service. May heaven help consecrate and accept.
Thank you. And then from miscellaneous writings, we today in this classroom are enough to convert the world if we are of one mind, and then the whole world will feel the influence of this mind, as when the earth was without form, and mind spake, and form appeared. Now, starting next week, I'm going to be asking out-of-town people to be reading this morning prayer for us. It is found on Love is the Liberator, Raise the Dead issue, May 2017, on page 12. And I will announce it next week. I would like Mike to read it. Okay, Mike? So if for some reason you can't, then you can email me. But otherwise, come prepared next Sunday to read the prayer first thing. And I don't think there'll be a reminder, so... So let this be it, buddy.
Okay.
Okay. All right. I will. Each week, I'll pick someone different. There's a.
So engrave it on your forehead.
Yes. Engrave it on your forehead. Yes. There are a few things I wanted to mention this morning before we get into the lesson. One is our Bible study. It will not begin next Saturday. Next Saturday is Labor Day weekend. It is September, but it's Labor Day weekend. It will start the following Saturday, which is September 9th. And I wanted to mention, too, that during our Bible study, we have we study various things. And at a Bible study, it's appropriate to go into certainly Matthew Henry, sometimes Spurgeon, sometimes Gill. There are many old-time Bible scholars, really, who wrote a lot of very, very interesting things. And so we're grateful for that in our Bible study. We try to make it as inspiring as possible and as close to science as possible. And many of these people seem to be very close to science in their hearts. Many of them were either before Mrs. Eddy or contemporaries of Mrs. Eddy. Of course, if you find things that Mrs. Eddy says, those are the first and foremost of Christian science. But in Bible study, we spread out a little bit. It is a study. For other things, I just wanted to mention, be very careful, especially what you're quoting at a Wednesday meeting or on the forum, that it be as pure science as possible. In other words, usually Mrs. Eddy or the Bible. We want very much to stick to pure science, Mrs. Eddy's science. One thing we do not want is New Age. And why is that?
Because it leads people astray.
Yeah. You can read New Age if you want to. That's up to you. We don't tell you what to read or not to read. And I have read some things. I've read The Secret. There are a few other things I've read that are New Age. But I try not to bring it into what we are doing here. Some of you, I'm no expert on New Age, believe me, but I heard something very interesting recently. I was listening to someone who had come out of witchcraft and the occult, and every time she mentioned that, she preceded it with New Age, occult, witchcraft. In other words, she was, New Age was part of occult and witchcraft. This person had been converted to Christianity, and she was speaking out on the dangers of getting into what is not pure science. And there is a danger, and I've mentioned this before, but I'm going to read it again. This is from miscellaneous documents relating to Christian Science. During Mrs. Eddy's time, there was a woman whose name was Ursula Gester. Field. You can Google her, G-E-S-T-E-R-F-I-E-L-D. She left Mrs. Eddy. She was originally a student of Mrs. Eddy, but she pulled out, and then she became very, very critical of Mrs. Eddy, and she is known for what is called New Thought. And in this book, Mrs. Eddy is quoted on this, and she says, of the authors of such literature, Ursula Gester Field is the most dangerous. And by such literature, she's talking about literature other than science. Ursula Gester Field is the most dangerous, the most subtle. And why? Because she voices enough truth to deceive the very elect, then poisons the whole with her terrible theosophical terms. It is not personality she attacks, but truth. Jesus said, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. No one can rob Caesar and then give God the glory. If Jesus had not declared his divine origin, he would not have been crucified. If Mrs. Eddy had not declared science to be the revelation of truth, mortal mind would be proud of her. So, be careful when you...
Can I ask one question?
Okay.
I don't know what you mean when you say New Age.
Okay, Linda?
I would say that there's a lot of literature out there. Some of the originals were Unity Church. I can't think of some of the others right off. But a lot of the self-help books are actually based on New Age, and a lot of it's using the words divine love, science, spirituality, and meditation, but it mixes in with a lot of beliefs. And Ursula was actually considered in the New Thought. If you go do some research, she's actually considered one of the mother leaders of this thought, and a lot of these students that Mrs. Eddy taught started their own branches. There's another group, and I can't think of their name right now, but they were also students of Mrs. Eddy, and they started teaching other people, and then it spread like wildfire. And so they use this language that you find in science and health, but they don't do it with understanding or it's not biblical. Sometimes they do mix the Bible study in it, but they mix it in with their own thought. But usually there's a cult mixed into it and theosophy, just like she mentioned. It's all the mixtures of the Eastern thought. It gets fixed in there. It's the idea that there's truth everywhere and that you can get truth from all religions and that you can get there so many different ways.
Right.
That it doesn't really have Christ in it.
Yeah, that there's that each person's truth is
an
individual path. You have to find what your path is.
And it usually doesn't address how to handle sin or animal magnetism.
Thank you. It never does.
Never does.
It never does.
Never does.
Okay? It never does. It's all very the power of mind with a small m. And anyway, but very godless and certainly not biblical. No real moral standard that I can see except love, love, love. And a lot is out there. I mean, at one point, and there are times I thought, well, this is the leaven of truth. It's a step in the right direction. But after reading what Mrs. Eddy said about Gesterfield, and wait till you, if you Google her, you'll see what she said about Mrs. Eddy. She viciously attacks Mrs. Eddy. Do you want to say something? Florence, did you want to say anything?
Well, and I think often also there's a lot of focus on body.
That's a good point.
Because it's not really that submissive, complete reliance on God and God alone, I haven't found. It's about creating, and they talk about creating this and creating that. I mean, who's creating what? So that's what I've seen.
They haven't caught on that we're spiritual, right?
Well, it is a humanization.
Yeah.
Of what they think the science is. In other words, it detracts from the allness of God and the total humility that is required to experience and understand the science. It's a humanization, so it's a belief in more than one mind, that each person has their own path, their own mind, their own whatever. It says that, you know, love is a power, but it doesn't explain the difference between divine love and human love, and it therefore leaves you totally helpless when confronted by animal magnetism.
It's also all about feeling good in matter. I went to, I don't know if it was Unity Church or maybe Church of Religious Science, someplace with some friends. And they were plagiarizing out of Science and Health. I had been away from Christian Science for a while, but, I mean, I knew enough of Christian Science as the textbook to know that some of the stuff was word for word right out of the textbook, and they didn't give Mrs. Eddy credit at all.
And that is one of my chief objections to it. And I've read other things. It is so much paraphrase that you know they've read Science and Health, and yet they give her no credit. And they, some of them have made fortunes on this. So
it's good that they don't, because they're not showing it correctly. So
well,
it's just,
that's
well.
True too.
That's all it is. They want, it sells books. I think before I even went into Christian Science, I remember when I was searching, I was looking into those books, and they all make you feel good for a little while. They make you feel like, oh, yeah, I'm in control. I can do this, I can do that. They use a lot of visualization and positive reinforcements and all these kind of things. But once, you know, you read Christian Science, even when I have tried to read other books that friends have recommended, I find that there's something lacking in those books. It's not, I don't find them as fulfilling. I always, I put them down. I never finish reading them because they're based on human conjectures and decisions and conclusions, which don't really make too much sense to me. Once you know Christian Science, it's very hard to go back to and read those books, really. What I find.
You're absolutely right. That was a very good explanation. I know I heard someone say, Oprah has purported a lot of these books, frankly. Millions of people read them. And then, but, you know, like they'll put a picture of a house that they want on their bulletin board, and they'll think about that house, and somehow they're going to get that house, and they think it into being. But the problem with that is the opposite side of that is voodoo. You understand that. You can think, well, all of a sudden, well, I don't like that person. I'm going to think that person is going to, you know, fall off a cliff. So it's not anything to fool around with, this idea. It's liberated mortal mind. Unless you bring it under the control of the one mind, and Mrs. Eddy speaks very, very pointedly to this. I have not been an expert on all of this New Age or Eastern religions because I have no desire to. I've read a little bit. But as with Pilar, once you know that science, anything else pales in comparison. And in the lesson this week, it says there is but one way to heaven, harmony, and Christ in divine science shows us this way. It couldn't be clearer.
Joseph Mann calls it religious mesmerism.
Thank you.
And self-hypnosis, and it was going on even his time I was teaching in the 20s. It,
right.
Thank you very much.
I think it's been going on for centuries.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's just a different form, just a different name.
I think what's scary about it is that I did look at the Unity movement, and it started with a person who was healed through Christian Science, but not by Mrs. Eddy. It was somebody in the Midwest, and then they were able to actually do some healing, but they went off on their own little shoot to make money. Maybe it wasn't even their original intent, but they made this huge place, which actually what's very ironic was that one year my wife was going to a veterinarian meeting, and it was out in Kansas somewhere, and they chose not to go. I am so grateful because it turned out it was at the Unity place, which ended up becoming this huge farm, and it's a huge business now. And
I think it's the Charles Fillmore and his wife.
Exactly.
They were supposed to have been healed of, I think, tuberculosis, something. They were healed spiritually, they said. And then in the little piece about that, they said that they were influenced by Mrs. Eddy, you know.
Well, but they were healed. Right, but they were healed.
They were healed before this spiritually.
Right, by Christian Science, from what I read, but then they deviated into their own thing.
What I read didn't even mention that they were healed by Christian Science. It just said they were healed spiritually. So there you go.
Well, you can if you want to read whatever you want. But in this church and what we put out, it has to be pure science. And you will find if you don't go, you will find sooner or later that this is the answer. And when you mix it, it dilutes you. The other thing I wanted to mention, dilutes and pollutes. A lot
poison.
Of people, poison.
I was there, so I know I can say poison.
Poison.
Speaking from experience.
Yeah, Linda had investigated more than certainly I have. There are some people who have. Many people send me things to read or to listen to. I'm grateful. Thank you for thinking of me. Many times I cannot, and that's because what I feel we have here, I've told you before, it's a creme de la creme. It is a pure science. All the literature we sell here is Mrs. Eddy, people that were taught by Mrs. Eddy. It's pure. Up until around 1940, I mean, Mrs. Evans had told us then, a deep decline came. When you send me things that are written after 1940, a lot of this stuff, to me, to my thought, it is diluted. It's not as pure as what the original is. Therefore, I can't read it. Maybe some people it doesn't bother. It bothers me. And also, there are certain CDs that are out. And people reading, even people currently reading, but if they don't have the clout, if they don't have the deep understanding of the science, it lacks the punch, it lacks the power that I am used to. Therefore, I find it almost, it is like mesmeric.
It is a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. Now, it is the letter without the spirit, and your spiritual sense will be able to detect whether it's the real thing or a fake.
And that's the final word on all of this. Your spiritual sense is to guide you. We can't and we don't tell you what to do or what to read, but we can and we will keep what we give out as pure as possible. That's with our calendar, everything. Things are checked and checked to make sure it's as pure as possible. And if anything ever slips through, I'm grateful if someone notices and lets us know. But it has to match up to true science. And, yes, your spiritual sense will tell you. So thank you for that discussion. And also, I did not want to fail to mention that we are praying for the people in Texas, for what has happened there. Anytime you hear any news report that's disturbing or something going on, certainly weather reports or rumors of wars and other things, you pray, you make sure. We are the watchers, the watchtower of the world, and we work on this. And there are, of course, many, many people praying and good Christians praying and prayers all over the world. But we as scientists must make sure we are knowing the truth and sending out flood tides of love, pouring out flood tides of love. And that will do more for the situation than anything else possibly can. So, let's see, I want to get now into the lesson. I think I've discussed enough. And the responsive reading, there's something a little more. And I wanted to go to citation 10 in that. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Now, Jeremy, without reading the whole thing.
I thought it was interesting. I wanted to make sure I knew what these words meant. So reconcile, to call back into union and friendship. And, you know, that brought me through variance and thinking about being an enemy, and it just made me think about, for a long time, I really just thought Christian Science was the worst, because I my introduction to it was not good at all, and I thought what I was told about it, or shown about it, was the truth of it, and so it made me look very poorly on it for a long time, until I met people who were doing it right, and I'm so glad for that, because what a huge difference.
Thank you. This is very important, and this is something else we were to take up in our prayers. The other day, you know, when you go on YouTube, and we have so many things on YouTube, so I was listening to something we had on YouTube, and so something popped up, you know, this is probably what interests you, and it said, a Christian Science service, that's all it said. So I was interested. I said, okay, let's see who else is putting their services on YouTube. So I clicked on it, and there was this room, and there was a group of people, looked like maybe Florida or something. There was a lot of water and boats out the window. Anyway, they were singing a hymn. When the hymn was done, it was over. So I thought, well, that's not the service. I wondered why there wasn't anything more. So I clicked again, and then came this whole list of anti-Christian Science YouTube. How we're cults, we're anti-Christ, just one after the next. Now, and I've noticed, and sometimes with our round table and other places, we get thumbs down. So, honey bunch, if you are a thumbs down and you are listening now, please listen more. Because anyone who gives science a thumbs down does not know what it is. And anyone who thinks it's an antichrist or that it is a cult, you have not investigated enough. I have been reading in miscellaneous writings where Mrs. Eddy, it's just heart-wrenching what she writes, the criticism that she received at that time for this, what she was doing. And she says to her critics, just get into it, find out what it really is, and start healing, and then you'll find out it is the truth with a capital T. So we are to pray, as Jeremy, his first introduction was negative. It was awful.
It was wrong.
It was wrong. You want to say what it is?
Oh, yeah, I had broken my hand, and I told my mom, and she said that I didn't love God enough, and I needed to go love God. And she had never given me science and health. I didn't even know about that or Mrs. Eddy or anything. I just knew she was, after going through many religions, now she was a Christian Scientist, and that's what she told me. So I was like, whatever, and I went around with a broken hand for a couple of days because of that. So.
Yeah, until her. His father intervened, and he went to the doctors. So we pray that people who have had a misconception of this science at least can open up their thought to it, because it is the pearl of great price. It is wonderful if you know truly what it is, but it has been so misused, so much stuff out there that's not the truth about it. So this is partly why we are doing what we're doing, for re-education. And if Jeremy could change direction, so could anyone.
Big time.
Yeah, big time. So, thank you. Now, would anyone tell me what they think the theme of this lesson is?
Patience.
Yes, patience. And?
Patience is a virtue.
Patience, yes. And Linda went into quite a bit as with definitions of it. And when I refer to these people, I'm referring to their forum comments on our website. Go ahead.
Well, patience was not without murmuring, fretfulness, fortitude, calmness, submission to divine will, not easily provoked, not revengeful, persevering, calmly diligent, not hasty, not impetuous, but waiting and expecting with calmness, without agitation and uneasiness. That very hit home very much to me.
Yes.
How important it was to have patience.
Thank you.
Long suffering.
Yes. Anyone else? Hello, Tom.
Good morning.
I like the passage what he wrote about. Patience is symbolized by the tireless worm creeping over lofty summits, persevering in its intent. I always loved that.
Thank you. Yes, it was interesting. He compared the two and cattle on the hill with perseverance and the other qualities Mrs. Eddy mentioned. Cattle and a worm, they're all expressing patience. Now, the one thing we have to remember, and we've talked about this when we talk about patience, that it's not inactive. And what do I mean by that?
Not sitting around and waiting for something to happen.
It's actually active, trusting God, you know, getting more into your faith as to what God represents, his omnipotence, his omnipresence. It's not, like Linda said, just sitting there and just waiting for something to happen.
Yes, and if I have a problem that needs some resolution, whether it's a physical problem, a relationship problem, and my prayers don't heal that problem right away, it means that I patiently pray and ask God to show me what I need. It means that I don't give up and say, ah, darn it, Christian Science doesn't work, so I'm going to give up. No. You strive for the truth. Purify your objective.
I have found that in this patient waiting, getting more like God's allness in my thought is what helps me not wait anxiously. It's not a patience, you know, patient but so anxious during that time. If I'm really trusting God more, then it's a waiting that has more calm than that anxious waiting that I used to do.
Thank you.
Patience, it actually means you're doing more work. You're doing more work. You've got some problem that's not being solved, so that doesn't mean, oh, well, God will do it, and I'll just sit around and, as we just talked about, anxiously sit around. No, you are meeting all these suggestions that you are being bombarded with. And patience means sometimes you are brought way down to your breaking point. It's save, Lord, or I perish. And even then, you don't break. What do we say? The patience of who?
Job.
He's a good example of that, wasn't he? Oh, my gosh. His wife tells him. What does his wife say? His wife says something terrible to him.
Yeah, he lost everything. And his wife says, well, you know, forsake God because God did all this to you.
Friends are all telling him terrible things. He's got all these physical problems. He's lost everything. Talk about being at your breaking point, physically, mentally, emotionally, but he still refuses to what?
Blame God.
Yes. Go ahead, Lauren.
No, I just said to blame God. He didn't. He refused.
He didn't. And yet how many people will, that's the first thing, oh, God did this to me, I hate God. Well, and that's just what the D-E-V-I-L, devil, there is such a thing, wants you to do. This is your breaking point. Are you going to believe then, because all these terrible things happen to you, there is no God, and blame God? That is the test, okay? That is the test. You think of all the prophets, their breaking point, yet they never turned on God. They worked all the more. This is why patience is not just sitting around twiddling your thumbs. And in the next part of the Bible, it says that, my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations, various temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. What happened to Job?
Everything was restored.
Everything was restored.
After he prayed for his friend.
After he prayed for his friend.
He says even more. He got even more than he had before.
Did? What happened to Joseph?
After he was sold by his brothers into slavery.
Saved everyone.
He saved everyone.
Jeffrey?
He became the right hand, the ruler.
True. I mean, we can go through the list. Ultimately, what happened to Christ Jesus?
He ascended.
He ascended. Yes. He overcame death itself. All the hatred. I mean, to go into this story is such a deep, profound one of what Jesus suffered when his disciples could not even watch 1 hour. Gethsemane, patient, woe. And is Mr. Evans, one of his favorite sentences in Science and Health, was that Jesus patiently persisted in teaching his disciples. When you think of how often he was questioned and reviled and bad at, and yet he kept at it, patient. So, are you in some deep place right now? Do you feel you're at some kind of a breaking point where you feel you will be broken in two? Well, that's when you just bow your head in total humility and submissiveness to God and give yourself to Him. It's a purging of all false beliefs. When you are tempted, I mean, think of Christ Jesus. He had every right to just hate all these people. So did Joseph. So did Mrs. Eddy. Every right, humanly, to hate. To the breaking point where you lose everything, including your health, everything. But if you don't, and if you remain true to the Decalogue, the Sermon on the Mount, to your God, you will come up and out. And you will be transformed into a new person. And no one wants to go through those experiences. And I remember I used to just cringe when I would hear any talk about this. But ultimately, it's worse thinking about it than it is going through it. Because when you go through it, who wrote about it? Maybe it was Ray, about there was an angel with the Christ, wasn't there? Gethsemane. And so it is with us. There's always the angel sustaining us. We just have to look for it and acknowledge it. This is what patience is. And it will have its perfect work. And then it goes to have patience with others. You know, there used to be an old article in the journal called The Problem of the Hickory Tree. Does anyone remember that?
Yes.
So what happened to the hickory tree?
Well, you put me on the spot because I remember the article, but...
It's the last one to get leaves.
That's right.
Spring. And so you could say, what in the world is the matter with that hickory tree? That's what I was doing when I gave my testimony Wednesday night. What's the matter with these plants that they're not growing? The hickory tree just happened to be one of the last, but the blossoms came out eventually. And so it is with all our loved ones. We don't see any sign or evidence that they're at all even being Christian, let alone Christian Scientists. That doesn't mean it won't happen. You got to have patience. God is working. It also means maybe you don't need them right in your soup if they're giving you a hard time about things. But you can at least leave them to God and know, well, maybe not now, but later it'll happen. It has to. We're all going to come to the truth. Years ago, every Friday we would go to the Jersey Shore for a day of rest and relaxation, so to speak, although it really wasn't. But anyway, in those days we'd love to get sea glass. What is sea glass?
Glass that
was in the water that gets broken up and transformed.
Bounced around the waves and the rocks.
It's smoothed out by the
rocks. Smoothed out, yes. And it was so much fun. We all had jars of beautiful sea glass. And, oh, if you ever found a blue one or a red one, mm-hmm. It was just so exciting. Now there's hardly any bottles anymore. It's all plastic, so it's hard to find sea glass. But sometimes you would get a piece of glass that looked beautiful, but it was all jagged and it hadn't had its transformation yet. So what do you do with that?
You throw it back
in the ocean. You let the ocean churn it and polish it. So we do with our loved ones. Sometimes you just throw them back in the ocean. Take a little longer to get those rough edges out. So, and God is working. That ocean is working. You might not even see it, but it's churning it. It's getting it beautiful. Patience.
And we can't do what the ocean does. We can't do what God does. So we shouldn't try to tend the regulator.
I think that's why it's so important to be careful not to fix a certain label in your thought about people. Because I remember I used to do that. I would say, oh, he's not a Christian Scientist. Oh, he's a Roman Catholic, he said this and he said that. And I learned that that's just not right at all.
Correct.
Jesus didn't do that. As I said, he didn't do that. Have no right to do that.
Thank you. God doesn't see any of that. All he sees is his creation. We must be very careful there that we do not see anyone except a child of God. We don't label them by anything. They are God's child, and we are brothers and sisters in Christ. We are all of one blood, the Bible says. We are all related. And we must see that, and Mrs. Evans Eddy makes that very clear, too. She says we love all and see them all correctly.
And who are you harming when you put a limitation on somebody else?
Yourself.
Exactly. And we, you know, I mean, I do it too, you know. So-and-so is such-and-such a thing, or, you know, and I have to catch myself. Whoops.
There's an article that we have, I don't know the name of it, where it says about your children, the power of a right idea. Well, now I'm having a hard time remembering what it was. No, it's a divine idea carries within itself the power to accomplish the divine purpose, and the responsibility for its unfoldment belongs to divine principle, who cares for each detail of its progressive being.
That is Bignell Young, 1937 College, page 2. And it is true about your children. It is true about your business. It's a wonderful thought to work with. Now, in the lesson again, it says, he brought me up also out of an horrible pit. That's a terrible breaking point. That's that being in the ocean, turning around, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and establish my goings. Now, the definition of establish, I've always loved it. It means to settle or fix what is wavering and doubtful, to settle permanently. Now, I was the worst wavering and doubtful person on earth. And the only way to get that out of me was to throw me in the ocean and let it rip. And after you get to that breaking point and you have no one or nothing, there's nobody, there's no human help, there's nothing to turn to but God Almighty, you get that relationship with Him and you get this transformation that comes over you that Mrs. Eddy speaks about in Pond and Purpose, and then you are established on a rock. All of the doubting and wavering and all of that goes, and you feel settled permanently in the Christ truth. And yes, you'll still be buffeted around at times, but you have this understanding and knowledge that you didn't have before. There's nothing worse than that horrible, anxious feeling of a godless sense. Let patience have its perfect work. But again, you're out there working. You're not just waiting for some miraculous thing to happen. So let God settle you. He settles or fix what is wavering and doubtful. He settles you permanently. Now, in the lesson, it says self-love is more opaque than a solid body. In patient obedience to a patient, God let us labor to dissolve with a universal solvent of love, the adamant of error, self-will, self-justification, and self-love, which wars against spirituality and is the law of sin and death. Okay, what do those words have in common?
Self.
Yes, self. That is what we're being purged of, mainly, is self. A false sense of self. Who you are without God. That has to go. You have to know you're zero, zippo, without God. What does adamant mean?
Extreme hardness.
Yes. That's why when someone is immersed in self, self-will, I got to do this my way, don't tell me what to do, self-justification, I did it because so-and-so did it to me. Self-love, me, all about me. Someone's immersed in that. It's adamant. It's not that God isn't there. Just you're like an impenetrable stone, the definition. At that point, you were unreachable.
Unhealable.
And perhaps even unteachable. All of those things. Until something happens to churn you up enough that you're ready to relinquish this wrong sense of self.
Till God brings things about in God's own way to rip away from you this false belief about who you are. Belief that you have a mind separate from God. The
believe that you have a life separate from God. Believe that you have anything that is not under God's law.
Zetti says, through repentance, spiritual baptism, and regeneration, mortals put off their material beliefs and false individuality. It is only a question of time when they shall all know me, God, from the least of them unto the greatest. Denial of the claims of matter is a great step towards the joys of spirit, towards human freedom, and the final triumph over the body.
And you will never get this from New Age or New Thought.
It's true.
Well, it does make you get very focused on self.
Exactly.
Thank you. Very true.
And it wars against spirituality, it says here.
Yes.
That really well.
The warfare, that's where when you've got to have that clout in finding any practitioner, they've got to have a strength about them. In listening to CDs, the voice has to have some strength to it. It's a warfare. We can't be all nice and chatty and pleasant. We're loving, yes, but there has to be that sword in one hand. So this is what happens with patience. You see how active we are when we're patiently waiting. We are repenting. We're having a spiritual baptism, we're being regenerated, we're putting off material beliefs and our false individuality. That's
and we're happening. Patiently waiting the question of time when we shall know God. And that is the objective of anything, to know the truth, to know God, to know your relationship, your true relationship to God. That is our salvation, period. Everything else follows. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things, everything, will be added unto you. I mean, it's all over the place in the Bible.
This strength and all of this, yes, repentance, spiritual baptism, that's very true. You will definitely not find this in New Age. No. And this is where we separate the men from the boys. New Age doesn't want to hear about the sufferings of Christ or his patient woe or anything like that. No. We're just going to be happy and having a good time.
And it doesn't want to hear about the unreality of matter and the total unreliability of material sense.
And without all of this, you really cannot purge yourself of these things. And this is where our daily study, our daily prayer, it's like a daily treatment for yourself. And you are knowing what's true about yourself and about others. Because all of us come into this experience with all kinds of wrong beliefs. And I can ask why, I don't know. Adam dream, it's like asking why 2 + 2 = 5. It's not true. But you've got to replace all of those negative thoughts and negative suggestions, replace it with what is true, declare what is true, even if you might not believe it at the moment. You keep declaring it. It will kick in. Just keep doing it. Have patience. Patience will have its perfect work, and it will. In the meantime, when you're going through all this, that doesn't mean you're not having tremendous demonstrations. Just because you haven't had your tremendous healing, whatever it is you're longing for, right in front of your face, does not mean that a lot of good is not going on and you're having tremendous healing. Because that's one of the other lies of the devil, that, oh, nothing's happening, I'm not making any progress. If you are working in the truth, you are making progress. You are. And never doubt that. So we all go forth now with patient hearts and willing hands to do this work and to know, as the lesson says too, that we will be rewarded. We leave all of that to be rewarded by God. Where that one is, but it's a beautiful quote, Mrs. Eddy says. We leave these real desires, which will be rewarded by God. So we will end now with Mary Baker Eddy, Miscellaneous Writings, page 228.
To be a great man or woman, to have a name whose odor fills the world with its fragrance, is to bear with patience the buffetings of envy or malice, even while seeking to raise those barren natures to a capacity for a higher life. We should look with pitying eye on the momentary success of all villainies, on mad ambition and low revenge. This will bring us also to look on a kind, true, and just person, faithful to conscience and honest beyond reproach, as the only suitable fabric out of which to weave an existence fit for earth and heaven.
Thank you. Okay, we will have a wonderful service. It will blow the socks off the world.
Thank you.
Thank you all for joining.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.